No clues found in Frank case in Chicago. The Atlanta Georgian, Monday, 30th of March, 1914, 8th edition, final, page 2, column 1, report that defense had located new witness there is without foundation. Dispatches from Chicago Monday denied the report that clues to a possible solution of the Fagan murder mystery had been found in Chicago. The report had gained considerable circulation upon the news that Herbert Haas, of counsel for Leo Frank, had been in Chicago conferring with the head of a national detective agency. The rumor declared that the conference had to do with a witness believed to be at present in one of Chicago's suburbs. However, an investigation revealed that Mr. Haas was not in Chicago on the mission ascribed to him, and that the belief that the defense had witnesses in Chicago was without foundation. At the Burns office in Atlanta, it was said Monday that no word had been received from William J. Burns, and no specific date set for his return to take up the work here, left in charge of Dan Lee Hahn, of the New Orleans Burns Agency. It is understood, however, that several new and rather puzzling angles have come up since the detective left Atlanta, and that on his return he will be confronted with some problems that apparently did not exist when he went away. Page 2, Column 2, B'nai B'rith, Plan New Atlanta Orphanage, Delegates to Jewish Order Convention, here, glowing reports, noted men speak, zealous work accomplished within the last year by Jewish citizens of the United States, and particularly of the South, toward the welfare of their race and the perpetuation of their ideas, was recounted Monday in the reports of Lionel Weil, President, and George Solomon, Secretary, before the 40th Annual Convention of the Southern District, Independent Order of B'nai B'rith. Among the prominent details of the work mentioned were the organization of the Anti-Defamation League to eradicate the defamation of the Jewish people in the theaters, motion pictures, and other local agencies, newspapers, as well as in broader national agencies of literature and drama. The opposition of Simon Wolfe, representing the Order of B'nai B'rith, to the Burnett Bill now before Congress, with its effort to regulate immigration by a so-called literacy test. The successful opposition to a proposed constitutional amendment before the North Carolina legislature providing for the compulsory teaching of the Bible in public schools. The opposition of local representatives of the order to a similar proposition concerning the public schools of Atlanta, and the zealous campaign conducted to interest every member of the Jewish faith in the workings and principles of B'nai B'rith. 60 delegates present. Both reports were enthusiastic as to the success of the efforts of the organization, which, as it was outlined, directed for the general advancement of the Jewish religion as well as Jewish ideals, and contained a number of recommendations for the extension of the work. The convention held its first session in the Hall of the Hebrew Orphans, home on Washington Street, with about 60 delegates and members present. The delegates represent the B'nai B'rith lodges of the five southern states of Georgia, South and North Carolina, Virginia and Maryland, and the District of Columbia. A prayer by Rabbi E. N. Kalish, addresses of welcome by Leonard Haas, past president of the district, and Mayor James G. Woodward, and a response to the welcome by Simon Wolfe, the order's most distinguished member, made up the preliminary exercises. Immediately, the reports were read and later were distributed in printed form. Afterward, the delegates had luncheon in the home. Madame Pevsner present, prominent in the convention hall, was the figure of Madame Bella Pevsner, the Russian woman who delivered an address in the public exercise Sunday evening. Madame Pevsner is engaged in the task of enlisting support for the Zionist movement, one of whose prime objects is the establishment of a college and a colony in Jerusalem. Ambitious plans have been outlined for the sale of the present Hebrew orphans' home and the purchase of 100 acres of land for a new institution where the inmates will learn to be expert agriculturists. Among the most interesting messages read during the first day's sessions was one from President Wilson received by Simon Wolfe of Washington, minister to Egypt under President Grant, and one of the most prominent philanthropists of his race in the country. The president's letter said of the local institution, President's Message: "You have every reason to feel deeply proud of such an institution, and I know it must afford you a great deal of genuine pleasure to be engaged in no nobler work." Preliminary sessions were held Sunday at the home, and in the evening, the convention was formally opened with public exercises at the Prior Street Temple. The conference will be presided over by Mr. Wolfe and will continue until Tuesday evening. The exercises on Sunday evening were in the form of a reception to the delegates, and the temple was filled to its capacity. The service was in charge of Rabbi David Marks, and a musical program was offered, with Professor Charles Sheldon at the organ and Miss Sylvia Spritz and Solon Druckenmiller, vocalists. Frank praised. Special mention was made of the Leo Frank case when David R. Stern of Greensboro, Tennessee, declared he was not of the pessimistic class. "When one can cry from the very gates of death that the truth is on the march, when I know that our leader has such ideals as his heart dictates, I have no crossings to and fro in my mind as to the trend of justice in this country of ours," stated Mr. Stern. During the evening, Madame Bella Pevsner of Palestine, well known in Atlanta, delivered a stirring address, urging more recognition of the Jewish women in the affairs of the Jewish men. "The poets speak of love and sing praises on undying faith, but we find them silent on the great question of the right of women and children to live to be a part of the affairs of man," said Madame Pevsner. B'nai B'rith to lead. "Our people just now are in the midst of a great unrest. We must raise the standard of brotherhood through this great human agency, the B'nai B'rith, and carry forward the fight to the end that our ideals shall be made universal. We must fight to dissolve the prejudice that exists against us. In this country alone, the Jew can mold his own destiny, and in doing so, I urge you to go forth to your homes as the messengers of this organization and spread its gospel." Madame Pevsner recently arrived in the United States from Europe, where she attended the Jewish Congress in Vienna and several other important conferences. Present on the platform Sunday evening were Dr. Marks, Mr. Stern, Rabbi C. A. Rubinstein, Dr. S. Mendelssohn, and Simon Wolfe. At the close of the meeting, the numerous delegates and visitors were tendered a reception in the vestry of the temple. About 100 were present at the Hebrew Orphans Home in the afternoon when the business of the institution was discussed. Mr. Wolfe presided, home prosperous. Reports from the various officials showed the institution to be in excellent financial condition. The home was now caring for 75 children, and 8 applications were being considered. It was decided unanimously to appropriate $22,000 for the maintenance of the home for the coming year. A committee was appointed to bring in a report next year on the advisability of selling the present home on Washington Street and utilizing the money for the purchase of about 100 acres of land in the vicinity of Atlanta. It was proposed to erect a larger building and to use the land for agricultural purposes for the benefit of the children. The General Board of Directors for 1914 was elected as follows: President, Joseph Hirsch; First Vice President, Sol Weil, of Goldsboro, N.C.; Second Vice President, Victor H. Kriegshaber; and Secretary Treasurer, Max Cohen. The local board will remain as it was. Wolfe is honored. Mr. Wolfe, father of the institution, was presented with a solid silver candlestick emblem as a token of the esteem by his colleagues on the board. The presentation was made with a very fitting address by Dr. Edward Kalish of Richmond. Mrs. Joel Hillman of Washington was made the recipient of a solid silver tray. Mrs. Hillman is chairman of the Ladies Advisory Board and last year was personally responsible for the raising of $14,000 for the benefit of the home. The presentation was made by Mr. Wolfe. Dr. George Solomon of Savannah, on behalf of his colleagues, presented a silver tray to Joseph Hirsch, president of the local board. Max Cohen, secretary and treasurer of the general board, was presented with a silver loving cup. The presentation was made by Milton Hirsch, Atlanta Fair to Frank. During the meeting, Mr. Wolf made reference to the case of Leo Frank as follows: "I am more than glad that my confidence in the fair-mindedness and sanity of the people of Atlanta is so clearly reflected in the demand which has been raised by the pulpit, press, and public that Leo Frank be given a fair and impartial trial." Page 2, Column 7, Emil Selig, aged father-in-law of Leo Frank, is dead as the result of an attack of peritonitis. Emil Selig, aged 65, father-in-law of Leo M. Frank, died Monday at the residence of his daughter, Mrs. C. T. Ursenbach, in the Washington Apartments, No. 52 Washington Terrace. Mr. Selig was for many years a prominent businessman of the city and was associated with the West Disinfectant Company. Mr. Selig's death was unexpected and came as a shock to his many friends. For 3 months he had been in declining health, but was not confined to his bed until Sunday. Funeral arrangements will be made later. Mr. Selig resided with his daughter, Mrs. Ursenbach, who, with her sister, Mrs. Frank, and mother, was at the bedside when death came.